Did you know that Nika AATC offers self-paced online courses on a growing range of topics aimed at helping you improve health outcomes for people with HIV? These interactive courses can typically be completed in about an hour and cover multidisciplinary topics such as smoking cessation in people with HIV, geriatric assessment and integration and models of care, managing difficult behaviors in HIV care settings, and using Zoom as a virtual workspace. Self-paced online courses are offered on Rise, Nika AATC's online learning platform. Courses are designed for healthcare providers providing patient care for people with HIV, including physicians, physician assistants, nurses, pharmacists, case managers, outreach workers, and other disciplines. To explore online courses for HIV care professionals, navigate to www.nikaatc.org/rise-courses. That's www.nikaatc.org/RISE-courses, or click the link in the podcast episode description. Welcome to Nika in the Know, a podcast for healthcare providers in the HIV field. I'm Mariana Braitman. Today, I'm sitting down with John Farragon to talk about a recent update to the DHHS guidelines as it relates to statin use. Welcome again, John.
Yeah, thanks, Mariana. Happy to be here to talk about this topic.
So let's just get right into it. Why are we talking about statin use today?
Yeah, so just as a background for everybody, I think everybody's aware of this, but people with HIV, you know, have at least a twofold higher risk of cardiovascular disease. That includes myocardial infarction, and including stroke and heart failure as well. And these rates are even higher in females. So that's one kind of a background piece. But the reasons why this occurs, I think, has always been multifactorial. And obviously, we have, you know, traditional risk factors like smoking and hyperlipidemia, but there's a lot of additional data that suggests that some of the ongoing inflammation and immune activation that's related to chronic HIV disease can also contribute to increased risk, this twofold increased risk for persons living with HIV. So that's kind of an important background. I think that's something we all know. So what do we do with it? And I think how do we manage it? And there's a clinical estimate, for cardiovascular disease. People use this American College of Cardiology, the ASCVD, or the Atherosclerotic Cardiovascular Disease Risk Estimator. So it's the ASCVD score. And this is basically evaluates patient-related factors to determine basically a 10-year risk of heart disease or stroke. So Mariana, what we do is, like in clinic, you know, you take somebody's numbers and you put them in and say, you know, your risk is X. And based on that number, you know, you determine based on the guidelines whether or not they should be on a statin or not. So an attempt to kind of evaluate this this role for people with HIV, there was a randomized, there was a trial that was done called the REPRIEVE trial, which we've talked about before, which has been published. It was published earlier this year. It's a large phase 3 study. And there's a lot of results actually that just came out of CROI. It's actually published last year, sorry. But a lot of stuff came out of CROI, some new kind of data on some of the plaque stabilization that occurs with atorvastatin versus placebo. But these are published in 2023, and in this REPRIEVE study basically compared pitavastatin, which is a real, you know, kind of a high-intensity statin, versus placebo and people living with HIV who had either low to moderate risk for cardiovascular disease or the disease events. So these are low-risk patients, right? Really low risk, typically patients that you would never put on a statin. And the hypothesis for the study was that if you take people with HIV, because they're at a higher risk for cardiovascular disease, even though they typically wouldn't get a statin, but if you give them a statin proactively versus giving them placebo, again, so you're not really disadvantaging anybody, would you reduce cardiovascular disease in that population? And so they did the study, and you know, we did podcasts on this topic. I encourage you to take a listen to some of the older ones. But the bottom line, the REPRIEVE study was a very encouraging study, and statistically different numbers versus pitavastatin versus placebo. And what they found was, in a large population, this is looking at over 7,700 patients that are all between 40 and 75, really diverse racial, ethnic, and also geographic backgrounds. There were people that were kind of in developed countries and also people in underdeveloped countries as well, to kind of get a sense of what's happening in different areas of the world. And they randomized people 1-to-1 to get pitavastatin 4 milligrams a day or a placebo. And the study duration was just a little over 5 years. And what they did was they looked at the rates of major cardiovascular events. And what they call that is MACE, major cardiovascular events. So MACE. Those were 35% lower in the pitavastatin group compared to placebo. And then if you looked at the composite endpoint of cardiovascular events or death, that was also lower, 21% lower in the pitavastatin group compared to placebo. So, Mariana, the key point here is not only you're reducing events, but you also have a mortality benefit of 21% lower, which, again, it might not sound like a lot, but, I mean, if you're changing mortality, changing death rates in such a young population, right, I think it really makes a big difference to know that these statins are probably contributing to that reduced risk. So I think that's a really key point with this study. Again, remember, they're 40 to 75 years old. Many of them have very, very low ASCVD risk score. So these patients, you probably typically wouldn't put on statins. And now we put them on a statin in this study, and they found that there was a reduction. So the patient in the pitavastatin group really were also had some side effects, though. There was new diagnosed diabetes mellitus. That's been part of the statin story for a long time, and also myalgias. You know, it's hard for us to kind of know for sure if we should put everybody on a statin. So what actually do we do? So providers really should be discussing the role of pitavastatin with their patients, and I think that's really really a key part of this of the REPRIEVE study.
Right. And what else can you tell us about this study?
Well, I mean, it was a 5-year study, right? So the MACE 35%, the death rate 21%. I think that those are the key pieces. But for even for patients with that low ASCVD risk score, there was a significant benefit for using pitavastatin therapy in persons living with HIV. The majority of these events occur in people with, you know, ASCVD risk scores of over 5%. But even again, like I said before, those patients who probably typically were not put on statin. So really, really good, really, really good numbers, I think, for protecting patients against cardiovascular disease.
So I know in the REPRIEVE study, they use this number needed to treat calculation. Can you tell listeners a little bit about that?
Yeah. So first of all, there's always a joke about number needed to treat. It's always something that nobody can, there's a formula for it and everybody forgets it. And it's not hard to calculate, but you have to kind of know how to calculate it. So it's always a test question, like on the board certification pharmacy exams. It's something they always want you to know how to do as a number needed to treat. So, and providers out there, I'm sure you've calculated these and you know what the numbers, you know, how to calculate it. But this number needed to treat calculation really looks at the number of people who would needed to be treated with an intervention in order to prevent one event that you're kind of looking at. So in this example, if you had a number needed to treat of 50, it would mean that if you would need to treat 50 people with whatever intervention you're talking about in order to prevent one event that was being studied. So like in REPRIEVE, for example, you know, how many patients you need to treat to prevent one major adverse cardiovascular event? So that's really the question, right, for MACE, right, for this 35% reduction. So overall, the 5 years, so if you had to treat people for 5 years, you would have to treat 106 patients of the 7,769 that were there. You'd have to treat 106 patients for 5 years to prevent one major adverse cardiovascular event. Now, what they also did is they did this by ASCVD risk score. So the high ASCVD risk score of over 10, you would expect that number needed to treat would be low, really low. And it is, it's 35. So you only have to treat 35 patients for 5 years with a statin, with pitavastatin, to actually prevent one event. But if you look at somebody who's between 2.5% and 5%, which is kind of that lower risk number, you have to treat more patients. You have to treat 149 people for 5 years to prevent one event. But still, these number needed to treat numbers are actually very, very good. And for a lot of the prevention stuff that we do for patients, these number needed to treat numbers are actually pretty encouraging. So just know that, you know, clearly the number needed to treat is going to be much lower for people who are at higher ASCVD risk, and it's going to be a lower a higher number needed to treat. You have to treat more people for the lower ranges of ASCVD risk score. But that number needed to treat, I think, is a really important measure for us to look at as we're determining what intervention is appropriate for people for prevention.
Now, what do the DHHS guidelines say about statin use exactly?
So this is really the key piece that we really wanted to talk about today. And, you know, we're talking about the brief study just so we have a background, but This is the most important piece. What do the guidelines say? And the question is, what do we do for patients? Like, and how do we take the REPRIEVE data and actually apply it to patients? And so what they did was, this was just in February, a little month or so ago, 2 months ago. The early February, the DHHS guidelines, the panel for ARV agents in adults and adolescents, they developed these recommendations for statin use to reduce cardiovascular disease. So I just want to make sure people know that this was just not just the DHHS guidelines. They did this in collaboration with the American College of Cardiology, the American Heart Association, and even the HIV Medicine Association, so HIVMA, was involved. And these are the guidelines now. So after all the data we have from REPRIEVE, how do we apply it and what are we supposed to do with it? So what they came up with was a couple of categories for patients, Mariana. So the first thing is, people with HIV with low to intermediate, so less than 20%, 10-year ASCVD risk estimate, so less than 20%. If you're age 40 to 75, if your 10-year ASCVD risk score are 5 to less than 20%, they recommend initiating at least a moderate intensity statin therapy. If your ASCVD risk score is less than 5%, initiate at least a moderate intensity statin therapy. Although the benefit of the statin use in that population, less than 5%, is less pronounced, and that decision really should be in the presence of other HIV-related factors that maybe potentially could increase ASCVD risk score. So less than 5, it's not as clear, but they still recommend, kind of this idea of initiating at least a moderate intensity statin. And I'm not going to go into the intensity of the statins, but there are charts in the American Heart Association guidelines, and then the American College of Cardiology, all with that ASCVD risk score, they have low, moderate, and high intensity statins. For moderate intensity statins, these are the ones that we would likely actually use in HIV, and these are the ones that are probably the most important ones for us to know. Pitavastatin 4 milligrams once a day, which was studied in the study. That's an A1 recommendation. Lipitor or atorvastatin 20 milligrams once a day. It's an A2, or rosuvastatin 10 milligrams once a day. Again, making sure you're always looking at drug interactions with these potential drugs. There are some interactions with some of the boosted protease inhibitors, for example, that you have to be careful of. That's age 40 to 75. So moderate intensity statin if you're 5 to less than 20%. And if you're less than 5%, they recommend initiation of the statin, but again, with some kind of caveats that the data is not as clear there. And it's either going to be pitavastatin 4, atorvastatin 20, or rosuvastatin 10 once a day. So Marianne, what about people less than 40 years of age? So if you're less than 40, there's really insufficient data for or against statin therapy as a primary prevention for ASCVD. Remember, the study looked at 40 to 75 years old in the REPRIEVE study, so it's not as clear for people who are less than 40. But for patients with higher risk, obviously, if you're high risk 20% or over, then obviously those people would get high-intensity statins. We would have done that anyways for people. And if they're 50 to 75 years old, and for those 20 to 75, if they have an LDL greater than 190, if a person has diabetes, age 40, 75, again, at least a moderate intensity statin, and a further risk reduction is identified, consider use of high intensity statins. So the high risk people, the over 20s, those people would always get statin therapy pretty much. But it's the 5 to 20%, I think, that we're talking about, and the less than 5%, which is where these guidelines actually help us for persons living with HIV. A lot to unpack, right? But I think hopefully this is clear for people.
As we begin to wrap up, what else do HIV care providers and listeners need to know today?
Well, most importantly, I think the guidelines are published, right? And you can access them online. And there's some nice charts in there that actually go through a lot of the information we covered today. But I just remind people to check about drug interactions. And we have our apps that we have available. So we have the DHHS app that actually has the DHHS guideline drug interaction information with cardiovascular drugs, and you can look at statins, and that app is very, very helpful. We are going to add the ASCVD risk calculator and probably some additional statin information into our app for this year's update. But make sure you check drug interactions prior to statins. Some of you I know use the Liverpool app, which is the hiv-druginteractions.org, very good. That works as well. But just make sure before you start somebody, if they're on an unboosted protease or an unboosted integrase, you're probably not going to have a major problem. But just make sure you're looking at all the meds, not just the HIV drugs, making sure there's no boosters that are there that are going to increase your statin levels to a point where it might be unsafe. But that's really kind of the most important piece, I think, as we kind of round out this section today.
John, thanks so much for joining us and telling us all about the updated guidelines for statin use in HIV. We really hope you learned something new today. To learn more about NICA AETC's work and our role in ending the HIV epidemic, visit us at www.nicaaetc.org. That's www.necaaetc.org. If you have questions or comments about anything we covered today, or if you have suggestions for topics you'd like to hear us talk about, don't hesitate to email us at podcast@nicaaetc.org. That's podcast@nicaaetc.org. Stay safe, and we'll see you on Thursday for our next episode of NICA in the Know. This presentation is supported by the Health Resources and Services Administration, HRSA, of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, HHS. The contents are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official views of, nor an endorsement by, HRSA, HHS, or the U.S. government.